Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Episode one.
Woo!
Welcome. So, how do you want
to
start this?
Welcome to you. Welcome.
Welcome.
Welcome all who's here.
Welcome one and all to the first official episode of Late to the Party.
Yeah.
With you.
With you.
Yes, with both of us. Yes, we are both. What a job.
So we're both here.
So this is the first episode. And right before anybody says it, this is definitely the collab you expected. Yes. One of the things that I've noticed over the past couple of years is that no matter how many times you and I work together, people are still going to comment on our videos, wow, never saw this collab coming. This is the only collab you should see coming.
Because yeah, it happens all the time.
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous. So
they're like, Scumbag Dad, it's Stanzi Potenza. And I'm like, yeah, it's been going on for years.
It's been years at this point. Like, they should say they have a podcast together. This is an extremely logical collab that I 100% saw coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is where we're going. So since this is our first episode, should we, like, introduce ourselves in a certain way to, like, new listeners? People who have never listened to us chat as friends before?
Well, yeah, I guess this is kind of... at least for my audience was, used to me having an old podcast. I had a podcast before this called What Fresh Hell Is This? And it was just me for our first season. And then I started to invite guests on afterward. And you were the first guest that I had on my podcast.
Yeah.
And it did sort of become this thing where we were talking about adding you on as a co-host to that podcast for like its third season, basically. Mm-hmm. And we recorded like two episodes.
And they were killer.
Yeah.
They never got released.
And we never released them because we were just kind of like,
yeah,
because it just like kind of organically ended. It mm-hmm. made sense because, I felt like I had kind of like grown out of what I was doing there. And then my producer also left Pod People, which was who I was working with before, like that he had left at the same time. So I was like, oh, I feel like it makes sense to just kind of like organically just let this sort of fizzle out. And we did. So now we're here. Yeah, we have been working on getting this going for a little bit. And now, yeah.
It's cool that it's finally amassed itself. And how lucky are we? This is our job now in a certain way. Like, this podcast is probably going to take off and make us billions of dollars over the course of the next couple of years.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Oh, yeah, billions.
Billions. Maybe I'm overshooting a little bit, but I'm very excited to see sort of where this leads. So, Stanzi, for those of you just tuning into the very first episode who might be like from my followers, Stanzi's brilliant comic from Boston. And we followed each other. And a couple of years ago, I invited her to come to do a film in Vegas. And she had never met me before. She'd been a fan of mine and my wife's. And she came out.
I mean, a fan is a
fan's a.
I wasn't like, oh boy, scumbag dad. It was basically like I followed your wife.
Got it. Let me rephrase. She followed my wife, and I thought Stonzy was funny, and I needed to cast up a short film.
We had done a couple of collab videos before that.
We had done a couple of collabs remotely
because we had mutual connections.
We had never met, but I think our meeting story is just so like very beautiful. And some people, they might not have seen it before. Like if this is our podcast, this is like the canon one. You know, we've talked about meeting each other in on certain podcasts before, but
oh yeah, we've definitely covered that. But I think it's a good story, so we can absolutely retell it.
Yeah, the origin story was that essentially I called up Stonzy and I'm like, I need your help. A camera company has funded us to do this. A short film to promote the camera, and we're going to shoot a tank, and we're going to go to Vegas, and we're going to get really, really crazy. Do you want to come? And with knowing nobody else except for Melissa Ong, Chunky's dead, now Sailor Mel, knowing nobody except for her, Stonzy agreed to meet up with essentially complete strangers in Las Vegas in a city she'd never visited before for like 3 days. And then a day before she was supposed to fly out, the one other person she knew canceled. So Melissa got COVID.
Yeah.
And so I had to completely change the script that we were doing and essentially made Stonzy play two parts, which were her and her twin sister. The plot of the film was terrible, but it solidified our friendship like so incredibly well because we did so much stuff. She shot a 50 cal in the desert. We partied. We got drunk. We got high in the morning.
It was my first time taking acid.
It was her first time taking acid. Yeah. And, when she had first taken the acid, she was like, is this the right amount to take? And stuck her tongue out, and I was like, that is too much.
Yeah.
And I took it from her in a sauna, and I was like, this that was too much. Please take that back.
Yeah.
It was a very, very quick moment, but she still had an amazing day.
Oh, it was awesome.
We went to Awana Spa where they do in Las Vegas, they have these spas where they do like a dance where you sit there and you sweat, and then a woman comes out and dances and fans you with eucalyptus oil and hits you with a tuning fork. And I think that plus acid is just a very, very magical experience, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that was, it was like a crazy trip. It was my first time in Vegas. We were like, went to the club. We ended the night at the club and we were there until I think 5 in the morning and then went back to the hotel. And then around like six, we did a nightcap at the hotel bar, and you were like, I have to go on a helicopter at 9 in the morning. Does anyone want to join me? I have space for one more. And I was like, yeah, I'll go. And you were like, okay, well, it's going to be at like early. It's going to be 9 a.m. Yeah. And so at 9 in the morning, I got like 3 hours of sleep. 9 in the morning, I went and got on a helicopter with you. And then I flew back to New York, where I was living at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, damn, that was crazy. And then like literally less than a year later.
Now we both live in California.
We both moved to LA, yeah.
Yeah, that's such a cool jump. And yeah, I think that's a good basis for the origin story. Stonzy's grown like so much since then. And it's been really great to watch us both sort of like take this path. And I'm really, really happy and proud of you. So good work.
Yeah, whatever.
I don't know, whatever. Freaking bullshit.
Fuck you.
Freaking friendship bullshit. All right, look, that's enough of the origin story for you and I. I think our followers know that we're, you know, collaborating often. We're doing funny stuff pretty frequently. So
yes.
This is our first main podcast episode. What's up? What's up, homie?
We were supposed to have like a meeting yesterday that I
missed.
Was not awake for. It was about the podcast. I was just like not awake for it.
It was an onboarding call to talk about the business
like sales
of the
and stuff. And yeah, I like got a text from Brad, and he was just like, "Are you okay?" And I was just like, "Yeah, I was doing a Harry Potter marathon."
Well, that was very important that you do a Harry Potter marathon.
Yeah, I've been like doing all of like the nerd shit. So I did Lord of the Rings a couple of weeks ago. And then I did Harry Potter, and I have to say, I like when I was doing the Harry Potter marathon, I was like, wow, these respectfully, the movies don't really, they're not great.
They're not great.
Yeah.
They're a little contrived.
Yeah, it's just, and it's also like the directors changed like every couple of movies. Mm-hmm. So there were like four different directors that worked on them. And it's like kind of, it's very choppy.
I've kind of found the Harry Potter movies a little boring, just my opinion.
Yeah.
Maybe that's controversial. I don't think it should be. I just think I got tired of seeing Harry get saved over and over by more powerful characters. Harry was just like boring. He was a boring protagonist. What?
Well,
is that bad?
Well, no, it's not bad. Yeah, you know, your opinion is valid, but I just like, I can like feel the angry millennials like listening in being like, how dare you?
It just seemed that every movie was just like sort of Harry meandering through things and being rescued over and over
Harry.
Yeah. And then at the very end, like some pivotal moment occurs and Harry gets rescued. Or once again, the curse helps him, or, you know, he constantly winds up in these situations where he makes one final decision and now he's the hero again, where nobody gives credit to all the people who were backing him throughout the entire movie, who were the real heroes who put him in that position to, like, you know, I don't know, defeat the end boss or whatever.
Yeah, I was just like watching them and I was like, because Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter came out like around, like the movies came out around the same time. Mm-hmm. It was like, I think both of them came out in 2001. It's like, was so much
better.
It was like the movies were so much more well done.
No, Lord of the Rings kills Harry Potter.
Yeah.
In terms of direction, acting, every single metric, Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, I was like, oh wow, this is like way better.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable Pocket Hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
It's interesting, though, because I feel like Harry Potter is like a much darker... It gets much darker, I think, than Lord of the Rings does.
I guess so, yeah.
Well, yeah, because Lord of the Rings, like, there's obviously, like, very dark elements to it. Like, Harry Potter starts off where it's kind of like, ah, you're a wizard, Harry. And it's like, oh, the cute little, and then he's like, you know, going through school.
No, that's true. It seems like the first couple, they're like basically running errands, like cute little kid errands.
Yeah. And then there's uh-oh, something bad's happening. And then like towards the end, it's like, no, now shit's about to get fucking real, dog.
Yeah.
And they're like, buckle the fuck up because it gets so much worse.
Mm-hmm.
And then like Lord of the Rings, it's kind of like, there's obviously like the dark elements to it, but it's just a bunch of like men who are just like really affectionate towards each other.
It's a bunch of bros.
That's like basically what Lord of the Rings is. It's just like, yeah, no, we all, it's like Lord of the Rings is just like, oh, we have male friendships and we're not toxic about it.
Yeah. We all support each other.
It's just a bunch of men who aren't afraid to tell each other how they feel about each other.
Well, I feel like the contrast between the two is that the stakes of Lord of the Rings right at the beginning is like, right at the beginning of Lord of the Rings, they're like, do this or the world is destroyed, right?
Yeah.
Immediately, it's a world, worlds are at stake from day one. Whereas Harry Potter is like, oh, can you learn this frog spell? Make the frog levitate. So there's definitely, I feel like part of the reason why you feel like it turns that way is because it starts so innocently.
Yeah, and then it's like, oh, everyone. Yeah, the funny thing about Harry Potter is like, every time Harry's like, I think I've just found my new family.
Yeah, they kill them. Die. You know what I think they should do? Now that the writer of Harry Potter has become a lunatic and nobody likes her, we should force her to write more of them. That's what's the lady's name?
J.K. Rowling.
I think J.K. Rowling should be forced to write a new series of Harry Potter books, now knowing that she's like anti-trans and kind of like a lunatic. I want to see that story. I want to see Harry Potter fighting people who support trans rights.
Oh, we'll make Voldemort trans.
Correct.
Yeah.
I think that if we put J.K. Rowling in charge of another book, she will destroy her own legacy. They won't let her do that because Universal's making too much money on the theme parks. They're like, Rowling, stay the fuck away.
They're like, don't you fucking dare.
Yeah, she's like, boy, it's mine. Oh, I created it. They're like, don't you fucking dare.
It's mine.
Oh my God. I want to live in the world where she is allowed to write more Harry Potter
books.
Well,
yeah, because we've talked about this before, but like there's been like discussions about like the names of Harry Potter characters.
They're horrible.
And then, yeah, and we were like, and like the things that she does with like the goblins being in charge of the banks
and Jews. Yeah, I know. That's why I want her to destroy her own legacy by continuing to write books. Because as she gets older and more unhinged and more drunk on her own power, she's going to be less likely to mask it. And she doesn't even mask her intentions well. Like, imagine her just fully blown, be like, oh no, Harry, you've got to defeat the woke left. And like now it's just Harry Potter and the Goblet of the Woke Left trans minorities.
Harry Potter in the Chamber of Wokeness.
Yeah, and everyone's gonna be, everyone's just a racist stereotype. Like all of their spells are completely racist stereotypes. Yeah. And she will, like, honestly, I would be very entertained by that book. I wouldn't like it, but I'd be very entertained by its existence.
Yeah, they're like, it's my First Amendment right.
Harry Potter and the Second Amendment of Fire. wait, that's good. JK, please. JK Rowling, please write a story where Harry defends gun rights. That's true. he goes like, oh, look at these muggle weapons. He's got a fucking AR-15. Oh, I'll show Voldemort. I don't even know where I'm going with this
joke. Voldemort's like, Avada Kedavra. And he's just like, nah, don't you fucking dare. He just like mows down all of the wizards.
So yeah. I think.
That's the power of technology.
Wait, somewhere in how Harry Potter deals with a school shooting. Wait, there's something there. There's something. JK, listen. Please write another book. Please write another book about Harry Potter's son dealing with the woke left and dealing with how a school how would a school shooting be treated in the Harry Potter world? Like a mass Avada Kedavra-ing? I don't even know.
Yeah. Well, what they do is they make an automatic wand.
Oh, an wand with a bump stock.
Yeah.
So they're like, okay, we've got to restrict these wands.
Yeah, they go to like a wand shop, and instead of having it be like a normal wand, it's an assault wand.
Okay, got it. I think we're giving J.K. Rowling too many ideas here.
Yeah, I know. They're pay like, me.
Yeah, J.K.
Pay me. J.K., pay me.
Harry Potter and the Modified Assault Bump Stock Wand. I think that would be a killer. Please. Yeah. I'm going to write that book.
Yeah.
I'm going to write a book about a school, about an American wizarding. Mm. The American wizarding school. See, that's why there are no mass hexings. It would be called a mass hexing.
Yeah. Dark magic doesn't kill people. People kill people.
Yeah. The curses don't kill people. Bad wizards kill people. And we shouldn't make those assault wands illegal.
Yeah.
Because that's our right.
It's not dark magic. It's mental illness.
Oh my God, dude.
And if we just get the mental illness crisis in Hogwarts under control,
there won't be mass hexings anymore.
Mass cursing.
I feel like this joke is so good that there's no way we're the first people to have made it. Like the idea of mass hexings in schools.
Mm.
Like the American version, if Harry Potter was set in, you know, mid-America, I do believe that it would have had to end in a mass hexing. You know, otherwise it wouldn't be realistic.
Yeah.
Like they wouldn't be afraid of the British
Well, it's almost like how, like in Attack on Titan, like towards the end, like they were like, oh, technology is getting really good. We don't even need the Titans anymore because we've just learned how to make fucking nukes.
Yeah, we've learned how to make weapons that are better than
them.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah. So that is sort of like, I could imagine that Harry Potter at some point, they're like, ah, this is.
They're like, yeah, stop learning the magic.
Vada Kedavra. And they're like, yeah, well, I just have an AR-15 and I can mow down all these wizards. So like, what's the point?
Did Voldemort never just think about using a gun?
Using a gun.
I'm just curious, like you know, ancient wizard.
Because he was like, muggles are stupid and we should kill them all. But I'm like, yeah, but they're making the good shit.
Yeah, they are making the good shit. Do you mean to tell me he only ate food made by wizards, only wore robes made by wizards? Was he like just anti any technology? I'm sure he used a cell phone.
I don't think so.
So Voldemort, I mean, but ostensibly in the world of Harry Potter, firearms exist, right?
I mean, yeah.
I just don't see why Voldemort didn't just get, you know,
because I think
Glock.
It's just like, I think it's modern day.
Yeah.
So.
I know.
I'm like, yeah, in that universe, like, school shootings definitely happened in the Muggle world.
Yeah, they definitely happened in the Muggle world. But I think the unexplored narrative is that they should have also happened in the Wizarding world.
But it's funny because it's like they were like, oh, like Avada Kedavra is like the most like terrible spell that you can do. And it's like, yeah, but it's like you that's just killing one
Yeah,
person.
They're just killing one person at a time.
That's like, I'm like, that's like, yeah, that's like bringing a knife to a gun show in our Muggle world.
I would have loved to see them debate that. Anyways, all right, so that's J.K. Rowling.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. WATER to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
You watch things that came out in like the early 2000s and you're like, oh man, this didn't hold up well. Mm-hmm. Whether it's because of just like for Harry Potter, like I think a lot of it was like CGI, which is funny because Lord of the Rings came out at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the CGI in that was like
way better.
Like way, way better than Harry Potter. But also like sometimes like in certain things, not necessarily Harry Potter, but just like in other shows or movies that came out during that time, like there are jokes that they make that
don't
they're
land.
Like, oh, like, ah, that's not very good. Like, yeah. Like, I feel like How I Met Your Mother was one of those shows where you watch it back and they'll make like weird.
I never liked that show.
No.
It never did a lot for me. I just found it to be like Friends remixed.
I liked it, but then they just fucked the ending. It was like, that's one of, I feel like we had gone like in the past like decade or two, like every time there was a popular movie or television show, they were like, and let's just fucking murder the ending.
Yeah, they really boned the ending. What do you think is the worst ending of all series? Do you think it is How I Met Your Mother?
I think That one was pretty bad. I think Game of Thrones was also real bad.
Game of Thrones was bad. Was Game of Thrones... I think Game of Thrones was the biggest... I will say Game of Thrones is the worst ending to a series because it was such a good series for so long.
It was so good. That was our new, like... Because I don't think we'll ever get... I said this before to you, but, like, I don't think we'll ever get another Lord of the Rings in our lifetime, like another like trilogy or a series that's just like that well done. But Game of Thrones was like the closest that we had gotten to that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the ending, they were just like, they just fucking fumbled.
The last two seasons were just utter dog shit.
Yeah, they just fumbled so bad.
I think that's what made it so painful, is that we sat through it hoping it would be better. Because we had like five seasons of pure bliss, good writing, good acting, everything kind of worked. And then those last two seasons, we sat through hoping for a good payoff. And what we got was utter dog shit. It was worse than the Lost ending. I don't know if you watched Lost.
I didn't.
Lost is an absolute garbage show because they had so many loose ends that they never tied up. I hated the ending. It was basically one of those, they were all dead the whole time.
Yeah.
I don't care if I'm spoiling it. The show's 20 years old. Fuck you. But
they were all dead the whole time? Wait, that's crazy.
Wait, you watched Lost?
No, but I know of the show.
Yeah, like...
I know it was something.
It was such a dumb plane crash.
And
it was
then,
a plane crash, and then there's like a monster on the island, but then there's also other people on the island, and there's a company that has set up these facilities and bunkers on the island, and then a ship comes to the island, and when they turn a crank, it goes back in time. Like, they basically built up this entire fantasy plot to say, oh yeah, well, they all died and went to heaven, and the heaven is the people we met along the way, and that heaven is the friends you have. It's so, I stopped watching Lost for several, I loved Lost, and then I got too fed up with it, and I stopped watching for several seasons, then I got caught up when it ended, and I was like, I was really glad I didn't waste my life on this one. The writers had no idea what they were doing, and it showed. Unlike, say, Breaking Bad, where the ending was concise, consistent with the world it was in, it worked. You know, it's possible to end a show properly, and Lost did it horribly, How I Met Your Mother did it horribly, Game of Thrones did it so legendarily horribly.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we can get another cultural moment like Game of Thrones where we all universally turned on the creators.
It was funny because I saw recently, like, it was like a like towards the finale, they had done like an interview with the cast members of How I Met Your Mother, and they were like, so, like, how'd you feel about the ending? And all of them were kind of like, yeah, you know, it's an ending. And like Game of Thrones, the cast like had a very similar reaction when they were asked about it. They were like, yeah, it's, you're going to have to wait and see. Cause like all of them.
Yeah. Cause
clearly,
they're too nervous. Cause they know it sucks.
Yeah. Cause
they
so bad.
Cause they all hated it. And they know when the audience sees it, they're going to be disappointed. So they all say, you're going to wait and see. You'll never predict what happens. And what happens is you're going to be disappointed.
You're going to be disappointed, yeah.
You'll never see this one coming. The amount of emotional letdown you have for getting invested in this story and hating yourself for wasting your time.
Oh, it's so bad. Yeah, I feel like I haven't. And I feel because they cancel so many shows, too. And I feel like a lot of times, like, the showrunners are just like, I don't know when it's going to get canceled, so let's make this weird thing happen at the end. And that shit sucks.
Yeah, that shit sucks. Yeah. Anyways.
In other news.
How do you like living in L.A.?
L.A. is great. I like it a lot more than I thought I would, because I'm from the East Coast, and East Coast people, and you're from the East Coast, actually,
yeah, I
too.
Consider myself from the East Coast. I was raised in Florida, but I spent so much time in Philly, I kind of stopped saying I was from Florida, because it got annoying, but, yeah.
Well, technically, Florida is the East Coast.
It's the East Coast.
It's the East Coast, but it,
it's the weird East Coast. Florida doesn't really count itself as the South or the
Florida.
East Coast. It's its own thing. But yeah, like you were from Boston, you know, it was a big shift coming.
Yeah, because we're all like, I've talked about this before, but people from the East Coast, like, especially like if they're in New England, like people in New England are never gonna respect people from the West Coast because they like their lives and they're happy.
Yeah.
People from the East Coast are like scruffy. And they're all like, yeah, we're tough. we have winter. We have real winters over here.
Yeah, you don't know what it's like over there in California.
Like, fuck you. You don't know what it's like.
Like, as soon as I started hanging out in LA and dating my now wife, I started to dress differently. And all my Philly friends called me soft. And they're right.
Yeah.
Like, because I don't want to, like, you know, drink beers and, you know, go to the Reading Terminal all day anymore. Like, now I've gone soft because I, like, dress differently. And now I'm hanging out in
the
nice weather's
weather. I was like, oh, wow, the weather's so nice here.
Yeah, people gave L.A. like a really, really bad rap. I love the people here. They're so cool and so awesome. And the restaurants are great.
Yeah, I think that if you are, because I see videos like that all the time where people are like, oh, yeah, like, L.A. people are so fake. They suck. And I'm like, if you're finding people like that, I think it's a you problem.
Yeah, it's definitely a you problem. Yeah. You know, I see those videos all the time where, like, a model type girl moves here. She's got a couple of followers. And she's like, all these L.A. people are very superficial. They only care about how you look. And, like, I'll look at her profile and it's just all thirst traps. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, these girls, they're upset because when they get invited to the parties, they're only being used as props by these other influencers, you know, show tits and ass, show tits and ass, show tits and ass, but their entire account is tits and ass. So, like, if you are a tits and ass account and you get invited to a party to show tits and ass, don't be surprised if it's a tits and ass party and they don't really want to ask your opinion on politics or philosophy. You're there to be a prop for a prank that some fucking child is going to put on. Don't be surprised if the party sucks.
We've been to tits and ass parties.
And they are not fun.
And it's bad.
Dude, yeah. Oh, man, that's... Let me tell you, if you go to a tits and ass party, it sounds good... On the front end, you're like, yo, I'm just going to be a bunch of hot girls. There's going to be drugs. There's going to be drinks and food. And you think it's going to be really good. But that joke, the sort of like stereotype that it's a bit soulless is actually very true.
Yeah, it's like the most hollow experience going to one of those. It's like they're cosplaying as people who are supposed to be having fun.
Correct.
And they're like filming it like they're having fun. But it's like they're just trying to like have like the like outward appearance of having fun. And it's so weird. And then they all go back to being on their phones.
That's the craziest part. Is that okay. Yeah. Well, like Stanzi and I, you know, not to toot our horns or anything, but like we're pretty fucking funny. When we roll in, we tend to like riff. We sort of work the room like we're at a stand-up show.
Yeah.
We work the room. We have drinks. We do whatever, drugs, whatever. And, you know, we try to like involve as many people in the conversation or in as much chaos as we can. But what's so interesting is like at these types of parties, you know, someone will make a piece of content, right? Rally everybody real quick. And like everybody will smile, picture. And then afterwards, everybody goes straight back on their phones and it's almost quiet.
Yeah.
And
it's weird. And they have like music in the background, but it's like, no one knows what to like say to each other.
It's a very awkward thing. And the thing is that does exist, but it exists in such a small pocket of Los Angeles that I think it's unfair to paint the city with that big a brush.
Yeah.
I think that when I see those influencers bitch about LA and say like it's shitty here, all these influencer parties suck, I think that they are going, like, I think that they know they're going to suck before they get invited. You know, like, I know which parties are going to suck based on who's inviting me. If it's a broccoli-headed 22-year-old, or broccoli, if it's a broccoli-hair-headed 22-year-old, you know, inviting 500 people to a mansion in the hills, the party is going to be filled with a bunch of, like, bunch of dudes who want to have sex with models who just moved here, and they're going to do prank content. Like, they're not there to party.
So bad.
They're going to do awkward conversation prank content. And the girls who go, like, if they look at the you can tell a lot by somebody's account. You can look at them and say, like, if I party with this person, this is sort of the vibe I'm going to get. And if you show up to one of these LA sort of tits and ass parties, I like that this is probably going to become a term that I'm going to use. If you show up to a tits and ass party, prepare for it to be a tits and ass party. Prepare to be a little disappointed if you're looking for like funny people or like lifelong friendships.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
With a $5 meal deal with new McValue, you pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal, $6 in some markets for a limited time only.
His wife's phone got stolen at a tits and ass party.
Oh, man. My wife's phone did get... This story, I always want to say with a grain of salt because there's no way of me truly knowing, right? But my wife and I, we left a party. She dropped her phone or it got pickpocketed. We don't know. And we saw it on Find My iPhone when we got home that night. We're like, someone's got it. It's moving around.
Yeah.
We'll just send the little notification, send my number. No problem. I've found phones before. I've always found the person. And this was a beefy party. This party had security. So I'm like, you know what? They're probably walking around the party. They're going to hand it to security on their way out. Calls, calls, calls in the morning. Nobody's picking up. And now the phone is in a different location. It's in a building. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? Like, now it seems intentional. Now it seems like they grabbed the phone either off the floor or off my wife. And they took it somewhere. And I'm like, well, we told security to look out for a phone. We offered a reward. Like, we did all the sort of standard things. So we call it, text it a bunch of times. The phone battery is running a little low. So I go to the building. Now I'm getting a little crazy. Now I'm convinced this person has stolen it. And I'm like stalking the building, like waiting in their lobby. I tell security all about it. And sort of like I wait there for a couple hours until the phone eventually dies. And I reached out to, you know, some of the management of the party who, you know, there's security cameras at the party. I believe they found who had it and they were able to contact this person. And, you know, I was able to get in touch with them. But it always made me a little crazy that they didn't just like call me or text me. Like this had tons of photos of my family on it. A phone's a phone, whatever. But like Hannah was very upset because, you know, we do have the Google Drive like backup thing, but we didn't have all the photos of like the most recent trip we had uploaded yet. And so I'm not going to say like people are bad at a tits and ass party. I'm just saying like I've never lost a phone and had it potentially stolen before at any other party. We've lost phones like a dozen times already. You know, Hannah's left shit at parties.
She did get it back. Which I can't believe that you guys were able to get the phone back, which is crazy to me.
And I really think the only reason I was able to get the phone back is because I am somewhat connected to the organization that put on the party and they like me. And so this wasn't just like some jackass's phone who was a rando who wandered in off the street. This was like the wife of, you know, someone who they like and respect, and I like and respect the management. But it was a very interesting scenario.
Scumbag mom.
Scumbag mom, yeah. But you know, sort of circling back is that, yeah, at the end of the day, you know, those of you who sort of like live in other cities who think that LA is, you know, a shithole filled with influencers, I mean, that's not necessarily true. It's like saying that Boston is only filled with alcoholic baseball fans. Is that accurate? Wait, never mind.
I mean, like,
they all love dunk.
I know who my family is.
Oh, Jesus. Well, never mind. All right. I guess some cities you can paint with a broad stroke.
I have to clarify. I'm not talking about like my mom or my dad. I'm just saying that we have family members that aren't in my immediate family that fit the bill.
That fit the bill. Got it.
I was like, no. No,
yeah,
they're not all like that.
Yeah, not all like that, but just like LA, not all influencers are weird children doing pranks, annoying people, and, you know, only inviting girls to parties so they can show their bodies. Like there are, you know, extremely talented, wonderful people over here like Stanzi and I who throw actually good parties.
Yeah. I will say, though, we were at one of those parties during Coachella, and this is like me just like fucking being gossipy, but like, I mean, it's not really gossip. It happened to me.
It's not gossip. You can say it.
Yeah. Basically, we were at one of these parties and there was this, I want to call him a creator, but he's just like an internet person.
He's a YouTuber.
I'm name dropping.
Yeah, name dropping. It's Jack Doherty.
It's Jack Doherty. And every person that I've talked to has been like, fuck that kid. Which I'm like, yeah, fuck that kid. But like, we went to this like party and we knew that he was going to be there. And like, everyone who went was like, yeah, I just don't want to interact with that kid. So we had gone like to the party earlier in the day. And then I didn't see him when I was there. I know he was there. But then we went back like later on in the night. And at that point of the night, we had just left Coachella. We had all taken Molly. And the Molly was like wearing off at that point. And if anyone does drugs, you know that like Molly, the come down, can be a little rough.
It's a little harsh.
It's a little harsh. Yeah. So at that point, I was like, I'm not feeling super social right now. I'm just like tired. I'm kind of ready to like wind down. But we had decided to head back to that house and do a nightcap because Brad gets very emotional on Molly. I mean, a lot of people get emotional on Molly, but Brad specifically is like,
yes,
I'm
going
to pull all of my friends aside individually and tell them how much I appreciate their friendship. And so he was like, I want to go back to that house and play the piano for my friends.
That's true. I was obsessed with doing a nightcap on the piano, which I did succeed at technically.
Sort of. And so we went back to that house and I was like, I'm not feeling super social right now. So I went to go sit in a chair and just like rest my eyes. And then I hear this like, just like, I don't know. It was just like this like terrible voice, this ominous presence walks up to me. It's fucking Jack Doherty with his cameraman and a giant light. And I'm in a chair fucking sleeping. And he gets in my face and starts filming me. And he's like trying to interview me while I'm like asleep. And then I was like, we're not doing this right now. And then he was like, I was dressed up in this like red getup. And he was like, I saw you sitting there and I thought you were Satan. And he was like, why are you dressed like that? And I was like, because I was at fucking Coachella.
Yeah.
And then he got the vibe that I was like going to be mean to him, I think. And so then he just like walked away. And then I got up and I was like, we're leaving.
Yeah, we left. So that was the end of that party. And, you know, it's a shame. It's a shame because I was told that, you know, Jack wasn't what I thought he was from his online presence. And I respect somebody who can do a bit. I respect somebody who can commit to a character online. And if their true personality is different than that, you know, there's no harm done. But when he did that to you, I was like, oh, well, he's just as annoying as the internet thinks he is. And I think that's a shame because I was honestly hoping for more. I was hoping that somebody of that level of success, which is still 10 times mine, would be like very self-aware. And I was honestly a little disappointed. You know,
I think anyone with the broccoli head haircut is going to be exactly as you expect them to be.
The broccoli head haircut is definitely sort of like a sign. So far, I haven't met anybody with the broccoli hair that I've been like, wow, you're actually a super intelligent
philanthropist.
You're actually a philosopher. No, yeah. I mean, and that was like, you know, that was only one like experience at Coachella. But at the end of the day, not every party is like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
We do throw good parties.
We throw really good parties.
Yeah, we throw good parties. We threw like a crazy Barbie party.
Yeah.
Like, what was it, a year ago?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Threw a Barbie party. Everybody got dressed up. Everybody got riggedy wrecked.
Barbie party was awesome because everyone came and they were wearing pink. Mm-hmm. And it was just this very glittery, like hot pink, just extravaganza. And it went all day.
Yeah.
Which is so sad for our friend Eric, who
who agreed to let us use his house.
Yeah.
Shout outs to Eric, yeah, Carrot Financial. Yeah, Eric, we love you.
Yeah, because we were like, oh, it started at like 3 p.m.
Yeah,
I
we
think.
Thought we'd end early, but it did not end
and
early.
And it went until I think like 10 or 11. Mm. And then he was just kind of like, and then he just turned the lights off at one point.
He turned the lights off and he started to close the doors. And we were like, okay, well, everybody, I guess the party's over.
Yeah.
We can't be here anymore, which is fine.
Which is fine because it was a long party. Mm-hmm. It was like an all-day thing, but it was good. I really had wanted to throw a Bridgerton party to...
We can still do it. It's getting a little hot out.
No, it's at this point, we don't have the space for it. I don't think we'll be able to find the space for it. And we just have like a lot of other things going on.
Yeah, we're busy.
Yeah.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Should we tell the story? Do a lot of our followers know the story about how Hannah and I surprised you at your gig in New York?
I did mention it on my last, when I had the other podcast, I mentioned it. But yeah, my first stand-up show ever. Brad and Hannah like surprised me by flying out for it, which was like our friendship was still relatively new at that point.
It was relatively new, but like Vegas, we went to Vegas for 3 days together, and I think that's like a friendship hyperbaric chamber. You know, like you can fit a lot of like friendship sort of time into a very compressed amount of space in Vegas. So if I go to Vegas with you, like. Our friendship after that Vegas trip is sort of like the trajectory is going to be determined because we do so much stuff and we party so hard. Like we get a good feel for each other.
Yeah.
And so once Stanzi announced her her show date, I sent a text message to a couple people she knew, like Ida, Katie, and Mo, who she had met. I was like, "Do you guys want to go to New York?" And a couple people responded. And so Hannah and I bought a ticket and didn't tell her, and we made all these plans to go see the show. And I had actually. I think I blocked her.
I unfollowed her
on TikTok.
So that I couldn't see your close friend story.
Yeah, because I made a story. I was like, anybody in New York, if you want to hang out, I'm going to see Stanzi's show. And then like within a day, you're like, yo, do you unfollow me, dog? And yeah. I don't know how, I mean, I don't care how you figured it out. The point is I made up a lie. I'm like, oh, well, TikTok does that sometimes. Just unfollowed. And I deleted the close friend story.
Yeah, you were like, God damn it, TikTok.
But that gave me enough time. I mean, my story being up for only like a day was enough time for me to like link up with a couple of people. But the point is that, you know, she was backstage. She heard Hannah laugh. She heard my wife laugh.
Yeah. Hannah has like a very specific laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And so like I was like backstage and I heard her laughing. And then I was like, that's strange. That sounds so much like Hannah. And then I was like, no, it can't be.
Sure was.
And then she laughed again. And I was like, no, that's like definitely Hannah. And so then I checked my text messages and then Brad had texted me being like, have a good show. Wish we could be there. And I was like, nah, something suspicious.
Yeah, something
fishy. And yeah, and so they had surprised me for that. So I was like, they got a lot of friendship points for that one. I did fly out for Hannah's birthday before then. So that was another... Yeah, I got some friendship points for that one.
Yeah, yeah, sure. We've been building them. I feel like our audience should know these kind of things. Like, they always see us like sort of semi unhinged on our TikToks and on our reels, but like they're always like, I would just love to see you guys talk normally. And so, you know, these types of stories I think will give our audience a better understanding.
We'll be gay.
I feel like these types of stories will give our audience a better understanding of who we are, and then they'll buy more of our merchandise and give us more money.
Yeah, I do have a merch line dropping soon.
Some of it designed by my wife.
Yes, and it's going to be really fucking cool. Yeah. I have two artists that are working on it, and it's going to be really sick, and I can't wait for it to drop. Yeah, it's gonna be sick. Cool. His wife is a very talented artist.
Sure is.
We wear her merch a lot.
I married her for her earning potential. I love you, honey.
I want to end this episode by doing an anti ad. It's our first episode, so we don't have any ads.
Oh, we don't have any ad reads.
ads right now, but
let's do an ad.
So
an
the other day, Mother's Day has passed already, but for Mother's Day, I bought my mom some flowers to send to her in Boston. And I don't know if like you can zoom in and see this, but like I bought her this like gorgeous bouquet of flowers, right?
So pretty.
Right? That's a good bouquet of flowers. Mm-hmm. And then she sends me a picture. And this is what came.
Oh, that's way different.
That's not the same thing at all.
Which,
I mean, it's not horrible, but it's not great. And like the more I look at it, right? Because this is what I thought I was getting. Mm-hmm. And then this is what I got. And that is very different.
Yeah.
That's very different. And also it's like, they're like hot pink, almost red flowers with yellow flowers.
So who are we trash talking?
For your flowers, fuck you. I hate you.
Boo.
A plague on all of your houses. And then I was like, this is terrible. And I was so
mad. And it was expensive too?
Yeah. And I paid for like the premium selection that they had. So I found out that for your flowers, because then I got a lot of, because I posted about it online, because I was like, fuck you guys, give me my money back. And they were like, yeah, you can have your money back. And I was like, great. I'm glad they didn't put up a fight.
Yeah.
I love when places do that. Like Amazon does that. If you tell Amazon something.
Oh yeah, they'll never put up a fight.
They'll be like, yeah, whatever. Mm-hmm. Here you go. Even if it's something that like the package ends up coming 2 days later, they'll be like,
I'll just keep it.
I'm like, you're fine. Bezos, you're fine. But I posted about it and then people were like, oh yeah. It was like, I think it's for you flowers. Yeah. I think that's what it's called.
Got it.
It's for, yeah. So like, and I posted about it and then people were like, oh yeah, they did that to me too. And then some people were like, I'm a florist. And basically what they do is they just like,
they subcontract.
They basically just find local florists like in the area, and like it's not like an actual, like they don't do anything themselves. Mm-hmm. They just find someone in your area that'll like. So they must have just asked the most rinky-dink fucking place in the area to be like, hey, kind of do something like that. And my younger sister was like, oh, mom probably was like, wow, thank you so much. These are so beautiful. And I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what she fucking said. She was like, oh, wow, that was so nice of you. Because my mom is a lovely human being. Mm. So she was like, thank you so much for these. You're a great daughter. And I was like, I might as well told you to like go kill yourself.
Yeah.
I might as well.
With how shitty they look.
Yeah. They were like, oh, what kind of flowers would you like to send? Would you like to send Mother's Day flowers or kill yourself flowers?
Do you know what hack you should employ next year? I've got a great flowers hack.
Oh.
It's DoorDash. You can DoorDash flowers from the grocery store.
You're right.
Way less expensive. Get your when it's that much cheaper, your expectations are pretty low anyways. It's going to be fine. It doesn't come in like a nice box.
I know, but this
it comes
is
in
you
a grocery
being
bag.
Because you're a cheap bastard.
I'm a cheap bastard, but I like effectiveness and efficiency.
No,
I was able to get my wife flowers and snacks all in the same grocery bag delivered.
Yeah, because it's probably because you did something fucking stupid and you were like, I need to work quick. I need to get Hannah snacks and flowers and I need to be efficient about this.
I knew I was going to do it that way because I just found the prices on all the other flower sites to be so egregious. I was like, I could get her a bunch of snacks. I could get her hot Cheetos, which she loves,
yeah,
along with
and
the flowers.
I'm happy for you. But okay. For my mother, I'm like, I want to get her a premium experience. And also, I have, two other siblings. I have three siblings, but one of them is not my mom's kid. Okay. So, I have two other sisters that I'm competing with to get my mom
That's
the best
true.
Flowers. And so, I want to get her the
You
want to
beat your sisters
I
in a competition.
I want to physically
you
beat my, yeah.
defeat your sisters in a competition
in
of
a
gifts.
In a competition of gifts,
not
because that
physical.
Is what we always do.
Yes.
And actually, I'll end on this. I will say, I've talked to Brad about this before, but for Christmas, with my mom, we do this thing where we try to get her the gift that makes her cry the most.
That is a good, good challenge.
Oh, so it's always something. It's so fucked up because we'll be like, well, our grandmother is dead. So maybe we'll get her something that reminds her of grandma
or
grandpa because grandpa's also dead. So it'll be like one year my sister bought her this sweater that my grandpa had in this photo that we have of him. It was a Mickey Mouse sweater. And so she bought her that sweater. And then one year I bought my mom a teddy bear that when you clicked its paw, it had a voicemail from
cute.
My grandmother. And so then my mom will be crying. And then my sisters and I will just look at each other across the room.
How do you measure who wins? Is it by the intensity of the cry or the duration? Or
quantity? I guess it's kind of there's this mutual understanding. You're that is definitely the more sentimental gift. And then, based on my mom's reaction to it, she'd be like, oh my God, this is so amazing. She's like, oh, just.
Do you feel there's a strategic element? Whoever goes middle is the best sometimes? Because she hasn't expended all of her tears yet? Or first has an advantage, a third has an advantage?
Not necessarily, because she will. The waterworks will always come back. With my mom. So and then it's just we'll be hugging her, and then it's just a look across the room.
That's so crazy.
It's pretty fucked up.
That's so crazy.
But we do it almost every year.
Well, on that note.
Thank you so much for tuning into our first episode
Thanks
of Late to the Party.
In. Yeah.
Yeah. And we will see you on the next episode. We don't have a ending thing yet.
It's the ending song.
It's the ending song that we sing
every episode.
And goodbye.
Nice.
That's what we do
every
time.
Yep, that's our ending
episode song.
Hope you liked it. Goodbye.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. WATER to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.